Going in middle of Likutei Moran, Torah Lamed Zayin, paragraph, we're in middle of paragraph Yud. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 119, the right-hand column, five lines down from the top. Two major topics. First, he gave a whole list of certain items that are opposites, Guf and Nefesh, Oyer and Choshech, Odom and Behema, a whole list of items like that. Then he spoke about a person being machnia, the guf to the neshama, and he spoke about fasting and tzedakah, the difference between tzedakah to chutz l'aretz, tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael. And then he went on to speak about three items that one of the rabbis of the Gemara mentioned the person should be especially careful about. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to show how all three are really based on the same yesoi, the same foundation. All three are leading up to the same thing. And we were in the middle of this discussion. Part of the discussion was dealing with the topic of a shechet, a Jew who shechts an animal the kosher way. One of the things that's expected of him is to elevate the nefesh that's in that animal. And Rabbeinu Zal made reference to the fact that in many cases, or most cases, there are souls, nefoshos, of people that are found in these animals that need an aliyah. And if the bracha is made properly by the shechet with the proper kavona, that dibur is what allows the nefesh of the nefesh of a person that's found in this chai, in this animal, to be elevated to medaber. Now it's to be lifted up in level within creation. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vezeh pirush b'nafshenu novi lachmenu mipnei cherev hamidbar." This is a pasuk in Eicha. Rabbeinu Zal explains now. Hainu kishehashoichet einoi hogun ve'einoi ma'ales hanefesh bebechinas mayinukvin. If the shoichet is improper, he's not doing his work well, he's not having the right kavona at the time that he makes the bracha, and he doesn't elevate the nefesh that's in that animal in the form of mayinukvin, which is what he was supposed to do. We said that whenever a Jew does a mitzvah, or especially when a person elevates a nefesh, that generates mayinukvin, which is a preparation for the Shechina to be ready for Zivug. Ukesha'oi meidim ha'chalif, lishchoit esachai. And when this shoichet is standing, holding his knife to slaughter this animal, hu oimed kiroitzeach nefoshois, he's standing there like a murderer. V'ha'chalif shaloi hu cherev hamidbor, and his sword becomes a sword of the desert. The desert is generally referred to as a place of klipois and a place of snakes and scorpions and no water. When the Jews left Mitzrayim and they were going through the Midbar, it's brought that one of the reasons for that was for them to trample and destroy all the klipois, which are normally found in desolate places like a desert. So here it's brought that if the shechet doesn't do his work with his knife, with his cherev properly, then his knife becomes a cherev hamidbar, the einoi cherev lashem, and it's not a sword that's working for Hashem. Shehu cherev hamidaber, which would be a cherev that leads to dibur, a cherev that where the diburim that are said over it, the bracha that's said is proper, and the nefesh of the chai of the animal there is elevated to the level of medaber. V'yesh tsar lahanefesh hachai. And then what happens is the nefesh that's hidden in this animal experiences tremendous tsar. Shetsoyekes bekoil mar. It screams with a bitter scream over the fact that the animal is being killed and the purpose for which it's being killed isn't really being achieved. Nafshi yotzo. Rabbeinu Zal says there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim where it says nafshi yotzo, kishe yotzoso, when the nefesh went out, bishvil lahachnis bedabroi shelabrocha, it was supposed to go out in order for it to enter into the dibur of the brocha that the shoichet was making, bebechinas mayinukvin, in this form of mayinukvin. Ukishayotzosi, and when this is the nefesh speaking now, the nefesh of this chai, and when I left the animal, bikashtiv veloy metzosiv, kirosiv veloy anoni, I sought and I didn't find, I cried out and I wasn't answered. Ki einoy shom b'shas habrocha, because the shechet is not there at the time he's making the bracha, meaning he's not paying attention to what he's saying, he's not having kavona and making the bracha. So he's speaking diburim, the nefesh in that animal is trying to connect with that dibur, but because the shechet's not there, meaning his brain is not attached, his brain and heart are not attached to that bracha, it's not effective, it's not able to accomplish what it's supposed to. V'choyshev machsheves pigul, and the shoychet is thinking wrong thoughts at the time, in other words, other thoughts. Aideze mitzouni hashoimrim hasoivevim boir, hikuni fitzouni nosu esredidi me'olai. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim continues, because of that, because this nefesh did not get its tikkun, what happens is, hainu shemaile shehoyo lenefesh bebchinas chai, whatever advantages this nefesh had in the fact that it was found in a living animal and there was a potential available for it to get a tikkun by the living animal being slaughtered properly and everything, gamze lokcha mimeni. Now that's been taken away from me. The possibility of a tikkun has been taken away from me. Ki achshov ein lo manoyach lekaf raglo. Because now this nefesh has nowhere to rest itself. Originally, it was found in the body of the chai. If the shoychet would have done his work properly and made the bracha with kavona, then it would have been nafshi yotza bedabroi. The nefesh would have gone out of this animal in the diburim of the shoychet, and it would have had an aliyah. It would have gone up to heaven. But because the dibur of the shoychet was ineffective, because it wasn't bekavon and everything, because of that, mitzouni hashemrim hasoivim boyer, the klipois that are around the Kiddusha found me, hikuni, they beat me, pitzouni, they bruised me, nosu esredidi me'olai, they removed my crown from me, they removed my possibility of a tikkun from me. And Rabbi Nezal says, oiloi lahashoychet hazeh, woe is to such a shoychet that causes this type of tragedy to take place, this nefesh to be put into a position where it can't get a tikkun in a sense, to a degree. Oy lehanefesh shehorages hanefesh. Woe is to that person, to that soul that slaughtered another soul, umosaroisa bekafoy veho, and turned that nefesh over to its enemies because it didn't get a tikkun, and because it's no longer in the body of that chai. Where is it? It's stranded in a sense. Ve'ein lahashchino mayenukvin lahamshich teref leveso. And as a result of that, the Shechina does not have its mayenukvin that's needed in order to prepare it for a yichud with Kutche Baruch Hu. And therefore, it cannot be mamshich parnosa, because we said in general, in order to create anything, in order to create a child, in order to create parnosa, you need a yichud. In order for there to be a yichud, there has to be this preparation, this mayenukvin. It's not there, so the Shechina can't have a yichud, so there's no parnosa being generated. And that causes that we have to struggle, super, super difficult struggle, to earn parnosa. With the suffering of our nefesh, we bring our bread. Through tremendous struggle and effort. Because Rabbi Nezal had mentioned earlier that when the shoychet shechts properly, he's able to be tremendously effective in being mekabel parnosa liyisrael. Because when the Shechina is able to be Nizdaveg, that's what generates the Parnosa. Questions being asked, we've mentioned before that when a person eats food, whether it be a fruit or especially if a person eats meat from an animal, a covered Shabbos, or a fish, that very often that affects a tikkun for the nefesh. Could, number one, there are different degrees to which the nefesh leaves? Could be at the time of Shechita, it's not necessarily the entire nefesh that's able to get an aliyah, or sometimes could be no part of the nefesh in a sense. Could be it still remains stuck there in a sense, and it's only when the bracha is going to be made on it that it's going to have the effectiveness. It seems that both definitely play a role in being misaking the nefoshes in the food. The act of Shechita, for sure, and besides that, the at the time the food is being eaten, whether brachas are made on it before or after, whether it's eaten bekashrus, whether it's eaten for sudas mitzvah, all of those usually also have bearing on the nefoshes that are found in the food. So it seems that both items have a part.
Just a thought, that does it seem from this that people who refrain from eating meat and chicken because of the elf or you meant that they'd be missing out on?
For sure. The question is that regarding those people who take a vegetarian stance and they decide that they understand what the meaning of kindness to animals is, or what, you know, certain other things, a person should first confer with Hashem or with the Torah, the one that created the animals, to find out what Hashem says is really for the benefit of the animals or for the benefit of the people, you know, etc., etc. And we find that in the Torah there is discussion especially in Sifrei Kabbalah, explaining the importance of dealing with animals properly. Bichlal. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Vizesh Amru Chazal, this is what the Gemara says in Psochim, Koshin Mizanoisov Shel Adam Kekriyas Yamsuf, that Parnosa is as difficult to come by as the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. Ki Yamsuf Nikra Liyud Beis Kroim, because we know that when the Red Sea was split, it was split into 12 avenues. Each Shevet went through its own avenue in the Yamsuf. Keneged Yud Beis Bedikois Hasakin, corresponding to the 12 different types of checking that the Shochet has to check his knife in order for it to be perfectly kosher for Shechita. She'al yedehem koshin mizaynoysa shel Adam. They're also tied into this topic of Parnosa. The Gemara says that Parnosa is as difficult to come by as Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was 12 slices, and we said that Parnosa is dependent on the effectiveness of the Shochet. By the Shochet, there are these 12 bedikois of the sakin, corresponding to the 12 lanes in Kriyas Yamsuf, which are tied into Parnosa. The Gemara said Parnosa is tied into Kriyas Yamsuf. This is what the Gemara says, Shulchan doime lemizbeach, that the table of a person, if a person eats bikdusha, their table can serve as a mizbeach in forgiving for sins. Just as when korbanos were brought on the mizbeach, that was one of the forms of having a Jew's sins forgiven, so to a Jew who eats bikdusha, their shulchan, their table, has the status of a mizbeach. Rabbi Nizal says, shulchan is used also to refer to parnosa. When we talk about a person's livelihood, we say being able to put bread on the table. So the table is the symbol of livelihood, in a sense. Rabbi Nizal says, and that's tied into kishir pigimas hachalif, kishir pigimas hamizbeach. Because when the Gemara in Chulin discusses how small a nick you need in the knife of a shechet in order for it to be possible for shechita, the Gemara says it's the same size nick which would possible the mizbeach. If the corners of the mizbeach are nicked, the mizbeach can't be effective in forgiving sins. We see the connection between the mizbeach and the chalif, and the mizbeach is also connected to parnosa, because shulchan doima lemizbeach, and the shulchan is the symbol of parnosa. Rabbi Nizal says, Gam, another connection between Parnosa and proper Shechita is Al HaShechita Gematria Tof Lamed Zayin. The bracha that the Shechet makes is Asher Kiddushono B'mitzvoysa V'tzivonu Al HaShechita. These two words, Al HaShechita, are B'gematria 437, U'bezeyas Apecho Toich HaLechem Roshe Tevois Gematria Tof Lamed Zayin Im Adala Tevois. And when the Torah speaks about the curse that Hashem gave, that people are going to have to struggle to earn a livelihood, it says, "Bezeyas apecha toich alechem," with your sweat and toil, you'll earn a livelihood. The first letters of those four words are the bigimatria al hashchita, showing the connection. That to the degree that a shochet performs his mitzvah properly, that's going to have bearing on how difficult or easy parnasa comes to the Jewish people. Rabbi Nizal says, "Lirmoiz chisaroin haparnosa al yidei shochtim sheinam mehugonim." This is a remez, a hint, regarding the deficiency in parnosa being related to shochtim not doing their job properly. Again, a lot of this was explained more in the previous shir that we had. This is a continuation of the previous shir. Adalid tevois, and there's four words involved. You add one for each word. There are different forms of gematria that are used. Sometimes we include the word as one. Sometimes we include the whole set of four words as one. We add one to it. This isn't a joke or anything. There are mafarshim that explain when we do this, when we don't, and why. In this particular case, the gematria involves the numerical value plus adding one for each word that's involved in the gematria. The question is, how could it be that one Jew, a shochet, or a set of shochtim, can affect the parnos of the whole Jewish people? The answer is, for sure. You have the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, one person who affected the forgiveness for the whole Klal Yisrael. You could have one person, Ochon, a Jew do a sin and tip the scales negative for the whole Jewish people. In this case, the Shochtim are in a class of their own. They are very, very important people in the Jewish nation, because the permission that's granted to eat fruit and vegetables, Hashem grants much more easily, or fish even, than when it comes to eating meat or poultry. The fact that in order to be able to eat meat and poultry requires so much preparation, so many halachos, and requires a proper knife, and requires learning, a whole additional section in the Torah that's involved with it, shows that this item of chai, in other words, taking a chai and elevating it to a medaber, is a major, major avodah. It's not a simple thing, an easy thing. Those that assume that responsibility, or those that put them, those that give them the title or the authority to be permitted to shecht, are putting people in the driver's seat of a very, very major responsibility for Klal Yisrael. No question about it. So that therefore, to the degree that they do their job properly, it does affect Am Yisrael, or certainly the people that are going to eat their meat, for sure. And possibly the whole Am Yisrael. Rabbi Nezal says here that this has bearing on Am Yisrael, no question.
So is Rabbi Nezal talking to the Shechtim
himself? He's talking to both. In Likutei Tfilos, on this Torah, you see Rabbi Nosson Zal is mispalel to Hashem to be zeche to have good Shechtim. And to be zeichet that the meat that I buy should be shechted by a shechet who's the Yirei Shemayim, who knows all the halachas, and who does the proper tikkun for the nefesh. Both for the sake of parnasa and for the sake of kashrus, to be zeichet to eat kosher meat. What was the second question? Okay. Now Rabbi Nezal says, v'zeh pirush teref nosan li reyov. There's a pasuk that says, Hashem gives teref to those that fear Him, ki teref yesh loy shnei mashmois. This word teref has two translations. Loshen trefa, it could mean an unkosher animal, an animal that was slaughtered, let's say, in an unkosher way. Kemuva bezoyar saif mishpatim, as the Zohar HaKadosh translates that pasuk in the end of mishpatim. Or, v'loshen mozoin. The word teref also refers to parnosa. Hashem distributes parnosa to those that fear Him and respect Him. Lerames kishe Yisrael shomrim es atzmam mitreifa aydezeh yesh lem parnosa. To the degree that the Jews are careful when it comes to achilas treifos, to that degree they'll be zeichet to parnosa. Again, responsibility on the Jews, and responsibility on the shechtim, and responsibility on the rabbis who prepare the shechtim and test them and are mashgiach over them, etc. V'zeh pirush, Rabbi Nezal says, with this, we can understand the statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Menatzbach tsoifim omrum." The Gemara says that there are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, in the Hebrew Aleph Beis, but there are five of them that are a chiddush. There's something unique about them, that when they're written in middle of a word or in the beginning of a word, they're written a certain way. When they're written at the end of a word, they're written in a different form. Chaf, chaf sofit. There's a special chaf at the end of a word. Chaf, mem, nun, tzadik, pei. All of these have special formats when they're written at the end of a word. Those five letters are called menatzbach. In other words, those are the five letters. And the Gemara says that at one point in time, the Jews forgot the rules of these five letters. And the Nevi'im, tzoifim means the seers. The Nevi'im restored them. They retaught to the Jews the knowledge of these five end letters. Rabbi Nezal explains, menatzbach u'bechinas voriden. These five letters of the Aleph Beis represent the Veridin, those special pipes in the throat, those special veins, we said, that Rabbi Yehuda said when a person shechts an oif, besides shechting the simonim, the two pipes, the trachea and the food pipe, he has to be careful to shecht, cut through the Veridin also, certain little veins that are over there. So Rabbi Nezal says, Menatzbach hu bechinas Veridin, bechinas rivdin. The word Menatzbach is bigimatria, the word voridin. And the word voridin is actually made up of two separate words. Riv, reshit vav, which is bigimatria gvura, representing din, harshness. And the word din, which means din, judgment. Because these voridin contain in them blood, the redness. They represent tzimtzum, a place of tremendous constriction in the throat, tzimtzum din. And these five letters it's brought also represent a concept of din. Because these five letters come to close a word. when in Kabbalah it's brought that whenever we talk about opening poiseach es yodecho, open is an union of chesed, to be mashpia. In order to be mashpia means opening your hands to a poor person, let's say. Whereas closed is a concept of tzimtzum, din. So here Rabbi Nezal says, the Gemara says, Menatzbach tzoif mamrum. Menatzbach represents this voriden, this bechin of din. This blood, this nefesh. V'tzoifim elu neviim sheyinikosam bechinas kruvim, bechinas tinoikos. Tzoifim means prophets. Where did the prophets draw their prophecy from? From Moshe. All the prophets drew their nevuah from Moshe Rabbeinu, who got it from the source of prophecy, which was Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, from between the two childlike images on top of the Oroin. Bechinas Tinoikos, Bechinas Hevel Peh Shein Boichet. This goes back to what we said in the previous shir, talking about the small children who have this purity of breath, that when they study Torah, their Torah comes from a Hevel Peh Shein Boichet. Bechinas Avira Deretz Yisrael, which we said is symbolic of the air of Eretz Yisrael, the breath or the air of Eretz Yisrael, which is also an Avir HaKodesh. It represents this Avir Shem Boichet. Sheshom Mekablim Ruach HaKodesh. That's where we draw Ruach HaKodesh from the Avir of Eretz Yisrael, from this Hevel Peh Shem Boichet. Kemuva Bezoyer, as is brought in Zoyer HaKodesh about Yoyna HaNovi, when the Pasuk says, Vayokam Yoyna Levroach Tarshisha, that Yoyna ran away, he got on a ship, to run to Tarshish. Why? Because he knew that Hashem wanted to tell him a prophecy at the time. And he knew that Nevuah is only in Eretz Yisrael generally. So he wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem shouldn't be able to give him the Nevuah. So we see that Nevuah is dependent on the Avir HaKodosh of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Bechina of this Hevel Peh Shein Boichet, these Tinoikos who's Hevel Peh Shein Boichet. Ve'elu at Tzoifim Hainu Eilu Shein Bechinas Hevel Shein Boichet. These Tzoifim, which are symbolic of this Hevel Peh Shein Boichet, Heim Nehirin Bevoridin. They shine, Menatzbach Tzeifim Amorum. The Tzeifim shine into these Voridin, this Rivdin, Bemenatzbach. They shine into these five letters, Memnon Tzadik Pechov, Umalin Es HaNefesh. And they elevate the Nefesh, Bebechinas Mayinukvin, in the form of Mayinukvin for the Shechina, Umamshichen Shefa, and they draw Shefa to the world. V'hashefa mechuna b'shem Oimer. One of the nicknames of Shefa is Oimer. Aleph Mem Reish. Ki mitchilo hi Oir. V'yachakach nase mayim, v'yachakach nase rokia. Because whenever Hashem sends things down to the world, the highest form, its original form is light. Then when it drops down, when Hashem first created the world, if you look in creation, the first day, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Oyer Vayehi Oyer. Then afterwards it discusses Mayim, the Mayim Elyonim, Mayim Tachtoinim, the second stage of Gashmi, of the infinite light of Hashem becoming, going down into this world, is in the form of Mayim. And then the third level is Rokia. Rokia means the forming of a sky. And this Oyer Mayim Rokia represents the Hishtalshelus HaShefa, when Shefa comes down to this world. Ugeshemamtikim es haMenatzbach, and when we're successful in sweetening the din, the Menatzbach, Vo'oisen mi Menatzbach, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and we convert these five letters, Mem Nun Tzadik Pechof, to, instead of being Voridin, we make from it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. How do we do that? Ki me riv nase tzuras aleph. Because the Arizal explains that the word riv, resh yud vav, is actually the format of the letter aleph. On the top of the aleph you have what's shaped like a yud. Then in the center of the aleph you have what's shaped like a vav. And then the bottom part of the aleph is like an upside down resh on an angle. That's these letters resh yud vav, which represent gevura, which when the gevura is sweetened, it gets converted to an aleph. Aleph always represents Oyer Chesed. V'nase Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So that from Riv Din becomes, the Riv gets converted to an Aleph, and it becomes Aleph Din. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. V'Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Hu Dibur. Hashem's name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, represents speech. Hu Hashchina, that's the Shechina. Kama Shikosu Hashem Sposai Tiftoch. That's the name of Hashem that represents Dibur. Umehevel hazeh haynu aleph dalet nun yud yoytzei hashefa v'nischalek l'chol echad l'fi b'chinosoi. And when there is this hevel peh that's pure, Menatzbach Tzayfim Amorum. The Tzayfim represent the Nevuah, which comes from the Tinoikos, which symbolize the Hevel Peh Shein Boichet. When there is this Hevel Peh, this proper Hevel Peh, that makes a tikkun for this Rivdin. It converts it to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the source of this Shefa, this Oimer. The Dibur, we said the Cherev Hamedaber versus Cherev Hamidbor. V'ze Pirush Hashem Yiten Oimer Hamevasrois Tzovorov. The Pasuk says, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that name of Hashem, produces Oimer. Oimer is Oyer Mayim Rokia. It produces the Ishtalshus HaShefa, Hamevasrois Tzovorov, which results in large armies being created. In other words, multiple Shefa. L'chol Echod L'fi Bechinosei, which is distributed to each person according to their needs. How is that in Nimtak? Through the Hevel Peh, through the Tzayfim. The Tzayfim are symbolic, they draw, are the Tzayfim Nevi'im. Nevi'im draw Nevuah from Ibein Shnei Akruvim, symbolic of the Yenuk, the Tinoikos, who have this Hevel Peh Shein Boichet. So whenever this Hevel Shein Boichet is generated, that's the Hamtokas Adin. Rabbeinu Zal, this Torah gave us a few forms of it. One was the Avir of Eretz Yisrael, Tzedakah Eretz Yisrael, he spoke about. Another form was fasting. And another form was the Sheichet, the Hevel Peh, the Sheichet, in saying his bracha properly. V'zeh Shamru Chazal, this is what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ichli Ami, Ichlu Lechem, Hashem Loi Karo. Rav Omar, the Gemara says, Ichli Ami, eat my nation, Ichlu Lechem, eat bread, Hashem Loi Karo. And you didn't call out to Hashem, and you expect to have bread tea? You expect that you're going to have parnosa? Rabbeinu, and the Gemara says over there, what crime is this referring to? What do you mean you didn't call out to Hashem? What specific crimes is this referring to? Rav Omar Elu Hadayonim, Ushmuel Omar Elu Melamdei Tinoikos. Rav says this refers to judges that don't judge their din properly. And Shmuel says it refers to those that teach small children. Maro marchodo, umaro marchodo, v'loi pligi. And both are referring to the same thing. Both are not in disagreement. Rav Omar Elu Hadayonim, Hainu Riv Din. He's referring to the concept of din in this format that we spoke about earlier, the Riv Din, the Voridin. She'enom ma'alinas hanefesh bebechinas mayin ukvin. This refers to those who are in a position to be mamtik dinim, whether it be the judges or it be the sheikhtim who deal with the Voridin, with this Riv Din. She'ein oisin meiriv din aleph dalet nun yud. They don't convert the riv din to aleph dalet nun yud, which is its tikkun, its sweetening. Remez l'shoichdim she'ein amogonim. The Gemara there is referring to shoichdim that don't do their work properly. Shemekalkal nadinim. They mess up the din. Hainu riv din. Menatzbach hadamim she'hem anafoshois. Hainu riv din. They mess up this Rivdin, now, which is the Menatzbach, which is the blood, which is the Nefoshos. Now Rabbi Nathal says, this Menatzbach, which is Damim, which is the Nefoshos, Heim Hei Oisios, there are five letters, Mem Nun Tzadik Pechov, Keneged Hei Damim Kiyodua, corresponding to five different types of blood that are mentioned in the Gemara. Remez lehei bechinois sheyesh lenefesh, corresponding to the five different types of souls that there are nefesh. Kemoshem rechazal, as the Gemara says, hani chamisha borchi nafshi keneged me. There's a paragraph so that these five types of nefesh, which have to have an aliyah through the dam that the sheichet deals with, which is tied into the five letters of Menatzbach, which make up this rivdin, the voridin, which represent this whole concept of sweetening the din. That was one opinion, that it refers to the dayonim. The second opinion was that aleph dalet nun yud loy karo refers to shmul amar elo malam de atinoikos. This refers to those that teach small children. Shemekalklinis ahevel shein boichet, whereby they teach kids improperly, and as a result of that, they spoil this hevel peh shein boichet. Kishadiburoi the Hevel Shela Shoichet Aina Bebchinas Hevel Shein Boichet, Bechinas Avir Eretz Yisrael. When the again here Rabbeinu Zal's tying back to the Shoichet, that when the Dibur and Hevel Peh of the Shoichet is improper, it's not Hevel Peh Shein Boichet, it's not Avir Eretz Yisrael. Aidezeh Ichli Ami, Haparnosan Ismait, the Navi questions, are you going to have what to eat? Meaning the Parnosa is going to go down. Because when the Sheikhet is doing his job properly, when he's making the bracha with kavona, and his hevel peh is hevel peh shein boichet, bechinas cherev lashem, then his knife becomes a cherev lashem, bechinas tzedakah d'Eretz Yisrael, corresponding to the tzedakah d'Eretz Yisrael, bechinas nefesh, bechinas Torah kanal. Gam hanefesh she'oyle mehachai, lahamedaber shaloi, gam kein nisale bebechino ismaila selo haniskor. And so too the nefesh that was found in that animal originally, which is elevated through his making the bracha, into his medaber, it enters into his dibor, nafshi yotza bedabroi, it gets its aliyah the way we spoke earlier. It rises up in madrega to become mayin nukvin, to generate the yichud kodesh brichu shchinte, and to create shefa. Now Rabbi Nezal says, v'zeh pirush hizaru bibnei amoretz. Okay, so far he's started addressing these three items that were mentioned. The warning, hizaru bezokin sheshochach talmud ha-machmasansoy, to be careful about a person who forgets his learning, to treat him with respect. Rabbi Nezal showed how that represented a he'olas ha-nefesh. Now he spoke about the voridin, and now he's going to the third item that we mentioned previously, in the previous year. V'zeh pirush hizaru bibnei amoretz. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda warned this talmidim, be careful in showing respect to children that come from parents that aren't so learned, that aren't so religious. Ki mehem teitzei tzoira. Because from these children, bedafka is going to come forth high levels of Torah. Ki ze yodua. Rabbi Nezal says, this is a fact. Shehanefoshois hanechbodois b'soich hatikla. That those nefoshois that are very respectable are found in the tikla, in the klipas noiga. He omor bezoyar, which is mentioned in the Zohar HaKodesh, beklipas noiga. Uklipas noiga roitze sheishtaka. Noiga is a type of klipa, a type of tumah that sort of mixed good and bad. The Sifrei Kabbalah speak about toiv and ra and something in between. There's a concept of toiv, all good. There's a concept of things that are all bad. There are three klipois that are called tmeois legamri. And there's noiga, which is something that's sort of in between. And in this noiga is found very often certain very holy neshamois. Neshamois nefoshois nechbodois, Rabbi Nezal calls them here, that are found in this noiga. Uklipas noiga roitze sheishtaka shoma nefesh. And this klipas noiga wants to swallow up this nefesh. Azai hi noisenes oison betoich tipas zivugoi shel amoretz. Therefore, it tries either not to release these nefoshes at all, or if it does release them, it tries to release them only to a couple who are amehoretz, who are not religious or not learned, hoping that in that way, this holy nefesh will be stifled. Kedei sheyistanef hanefesh ahi biyoser, so that that nefesh will become dirtied, very dirtied. The perfect example of this, the Arizal gives, is Avraham Avinu. The Arizal says that when the forces of Tumah saw the soul, the nefesh of Avraham Avinu, and how great it was and how effective it could be in the world, they forced a situation where this droplet was presented to Terach and his wife, who were two of the most evil people at that time, super oiv de avodah zarah, with the hope that if Avraham Avinu will be born to these parents, he just about doesn't stand the chance of succeeding, of surviving, or of becoming matzliach in kiddush or anything. Now the question is, why do they have control? They have a say as to where a nefesh goes out? And the answer is yes, there's all kinds of factors that go into determining what takes place in heaven. And one factor is the koyach hatumah. They also have a say and sometimes can play a major role in affecting these things. Nimtzo shebnei amhoretz heim nefoshos yikoros. So therefore, very often we find that children that come from parents that aren't religious or aren't learned, those children could be special nefoshos. Elo sheheim kitziporim huachuzos bepach. However, they're like birds that are trapped in tar, let's say, you know, they're stuck. Me'ayin onu yoidim hadar tifarton. So how do we know their beauty, the beauty of these nefoshos? based on, in other words, when we see them together with their families and everything, we don't see any greatness. Where do we see their greatness begin to shine? Through their Torah. Kishe'onu ro'im shem talmidei chachamim. When we see that from these people come forth talmidei chachamim, people that are very religious or very learned, biyodua sheyesh lohem nefesh yikara. Then we see that this was a special soul. V'chol ha'Torah she'megalim hu akol giloi la'ashoichet. And all the Torah that comes from these nefoshos that are bnei amoretz, all has effect on the shoichtim. Ki ha'nefesh hi b'chinas Torah kanal. Because we showed earlier in the beginning of this chapter on Likud Imran that nefesh corresponds to Torah. The Torah that's revealed by these Bnei Amoretz represents sparks of Kedusha. And that Torah goes up to the Shechina in the format of this Mayin Nukvin. This Mayin Nukvin could be mitzvos, it could be nefoshos, it could be Torah, nitzutzos of oyer. We said that this is one of the statements that the Shechina makes. Look at how my son is coming before you. Whenever Kedusha is sent up to heaven from below, from earth, in the form of mitzvah or Torah, the Shechina takes that Kedusha and brings it kaviyochel before Hashem and prides itself, look what I brought you. Look at the good deeds of Klal Yisrael, and that serves as mayinukvin to create, to generate a yichud between the Shechina and Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is why it's so important to show respect to these children of Amei Oretz. Because by the respect that we show them, that gives them the strength that they need and everything to bring forth their Torah, to give forth their mitzvahs. If we insult these nefoshos, if we don't make any big deal about them, we don't give them any respect, then it's possible for them not to realize who they are, not to realize their potential, and not to get to where they're supposed to get to. But the tzaddik, let's say, who sees such a nefesh and realizes its importance, and he's machshivit, he's mekarivit, he shows it kavod, and he elevates it to a level of Torah and mitzvahs, that's what brings this super mayanukvin. That's what causes the Torah to be revealed from this hidden place. Hainu ha-nefesh, Torah, which is synonymous with nefesh. Ki shoresh ha-koil hu ha-kovoid. Because we said in the beginning of the chapter that the origin of everything, the original source of everything, is kovoid. Kamay shekosev, as the Pasuk says, lichvoidi berosiv yitzartiv avasisiv. That the whole bria, the whole creation, stems from kovoid. And these nefoshos yearn to go back to their origin, to become part of their origin. This is what Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said, be careful to give respect to Bnei Amoretz, kidei sheyishtoikek ha-Torah shehi ha-nefesh likol b'sharoshoi shu ha-kovoid, v'yidei zeh mehem teitzei soirah. By shining this kovoid into these nefoshos, you'll unlock the Torah that's in them. The Torah that's in them will go up, which means the nefoshes will go up and will be nichlal in the kavod, which is its origin anyway. These are obviously not childish concepts. These are deep concepts that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting here, which if a person's hearing it for the first time, it sounds very hazy. But the more you get accustomed to this terminology, as we'll learn more and more Torahs and Likutei Moharan, and you get more familiar with these terms and how they're repeatedly used and how they come to play in different things, you'll understand it much better, Mitzvah Shem. Zal says to give kovoid to these nefoshos, does he mean literally kovoid, or does he mean to be makar of them? The answer is both. To be makar of someone is a form of showing someone respect. If I want you to be my friend, if I go out of my way, if I say hello to somebody, that's a form of respect, and it's a form of kiruv. It shows that I have an interest in having a relationship with that person. My not saying hello means the opposite. It's a disrespect to a person. It's a sign that I don't consider this person, you know, important enough to be part of my world, that kind of thing. That's one level. If I invite the person to my house, if I teach them Torah, you know, there's levels and levels of kavod and levels of iskarvus. But Rabbeinu Zal is using an interesting term here, that the term giving kavod is another phrase for showing his karvus to these nefoshos. And bichlal, when a tzaddik is mekar of a person, that's called giving that person, showing kavoy to that person. That's what it really is. Because those people that aren't makariv people, unfortunately, very often it's because they consider them not worthy, you know, they're unworthy. If this person's an they come from an irreligious family or they come from that kind of place, they don't deserve my time, they don't deserve my Torah, they don't deserve to be in my shul. My shul has a certain level of dignity, a certain level of, you have to, a certain level of kavoy that's required to be part of this, you know, group or sphere. Not getting into that at all. He said one line here, you know, he's not going into all the details of. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'zeh pirush dirshu Hashem. Now he's going back to the original pasuk that he quoted, on which he's, which summarizes this whole chapter on the Likutei Moran. The pasuk says in Tehillim, dirshu Hashem ve'uzoi bakshu fonov tomid. Rabbi Nezal explains, Dirshu Hashem, how does one seek out Hashem? Ayde eze chochma tuchal lidroi shoysoi. Through which type of wisdom can a person seek out Hashem? Through ve'uzoi. Hainu ayde atorah. Only through the chochma satorah. Ve'loy ayde chochmois acherim. Not through other types of chochmois. Shehem sichlus v'choyshech keneged chochmois atorah. Which are considered to be foolishness and darkness compared to the true intellect and the true light of the Torah. Vaydeima tizke lechochmas haTorah. And how is a person zoicha to this oyer, to this chayim, to this nefesh, to this Torah, which brings one close to Hashem? Bakshufonov tomid. Rabbi Nezal says, Ayidei tzedakah shel Eretz Yisrael. Through tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael. Or to people in Eretz Yisrael. Kemuva b'medrash, as is brought in the medrash, Ein bakoshas ponim elo tzedaka. That the term bakshu fonov, to seek out, seek someone's favor, refers to tzedaka. Kama shekoso, as the pasuk says, tzedek lefonov yahalich. Tzedaka goes before you. Lefonov yahalich, tzedek tzedaka brings you to the ponim of Hashem kavyocha. The Gemara says that one of the rabbis used to always give tzedakah before he started davening. Rabbi Elozer, Yohiv Pruta, Vahadar Matzli. First he would put a coin in tzedakah, and then he would daven. Why? Because he said, there's a pasuk, Vani betzedek echze ponecha. That through tzedakah I get to see the face of Hashem. Tzedakah unlocks the door, removes the mask. Kavyoch Hashem keeps a covering on his face, in a sense, keeping himself hidden from us. When a Jew shows kindness, they unmask Hashem. We mentioned many times that when you're angry at something, when a person wants to show harshness to somebody, you turn your back on them. Facing someone, kavyoch Hashem turning his face to us, means Hashem showing chesed. When a person does chesed, a person gives tzedakah, that's bakoshas ponim. That's this concept of being megala, the ponim of Hashem. So the Medrash says, "Ein bakoshas ponim elat tzedakah." Which goes with tzedakah l'ponim yahalech. Ve'ein tomid el eretz Yisrael. That's what bakshu fonov means. What does tomid mean? Tomid means eretz Yisrael. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, "Tomid einei Hashem alekecha bo." That Hashem's eyes are constantly turned on eretz Yisrael. V'yashkocha protiv Hashem is always in eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Nezal shows how in this pasuk, Dirsh Hashem v'uzeh bakshu tamid, is included many or most of the concepts that he spoke about in this Torah Likutei Moran. In other words, when he first started off by saying guf nefesh odam behema chokhma sichlus, he was explaining to us what a person is supposed to seek out in this world. What a person is supposed to try to reach for in this world. In this world, there's good and bad. There's neshama and body. There's light and darkness. There's remembering and forgetting. There's chochmas haTorah and chochmas chitzonius. And a Jew's mission is always to try to favor the good things. To try to live, not to die. To try to remember, not to forget. You know, to try to strengthen the Torah, not the chochmas chitzonius. And Rabbi Nezal went on to show what items do that. Tzedakah does it. And he showed that tzedakah was synonymous with fasting. And tzedakah teretz Yisrael and fasting and Tzedakah Eretz Yisrael represented the generating of this Avir HaKodosh, this Hevel Peh Shein Boichet. And the Hevel Peh Shein Boichet was also tied into the Shechita, the whole act of Shechita being done properly with making the Bracha with Kavona. And that was all tied into the three things that Rabbi Yehuda ben Sera spoke about, which was the majority of this Torah Likutei Moran. Baruch Hashem. We'll hold it over here for now.